Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, we welcome in former Boise State quarterback, also did coach in college football for a bunch of years, the head coach at Western Kentucky, was the interim at Colorado. Now he's doing a great job in the high school sidelines, and he's also a radio host as well. What can this guy not do? He is our pal Mike Sanford, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Coach, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for it. How you been?
I've been great, Zach. Great to hear your voice, man. And gosh, it's about time for 5 days of football heaven, right? I got my own semifinals here in Colorado. Valor Christian High School taking on Cherry Creek in a semifinal playoff. So just happy football to all who observe at all levels. It's a great time of year.
Well, tell me about your team a little bit. I know you guys are doing well. I know we've been in contact throughout the season, but tell the listening audience a little bit about your squad.
Yeah, the crazy thing, man, in Colorado high school football is not exactly Texas, Florida, or California, Georgia. But neat deal is Cherry Creek High School, who we're playing up against this week, their head coach is actually the voice of the Denver Broncos, does the play-by-play and color a lot of times on the radio for the flagship for the 9-2 Denver Broncos. Dave Logan played for the Broncos. He's a legend, absolute icon. He's won 12 state championships in Colorado. But the matchup between our two teams, Valor Christian, where I coach, is where Christian and Luke McCaffrey went to high school. Also, Roger Rosengarten, starting tackle guard, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens. But there's going to be probably 20 Division I football players on the field between our two programs. So, I'm looking forward to the challenge of that. We just beat, Boston College commit quarterback was unbelievable this past week. DJ Bordeaux, who had 240 yards rushing on us. So we survived barely. But high school football, man, I've really enjoyed it. It's good in the state of Colorado. And I think there's a lot of states that you can stay at. I recruited for a long time across the country. And you'd go to certain schools in states that weren't known for football per se at the high school level. And you're like, this is good ball, man. There's some good players on the field. And that's kind of what I'm experiencing.
Well, let me keep you in the state of Colorado. Jim Mora has left UConn and he's departing to go take over Jay Norvell, who used to be at Colorado State. What did you make of the hire? You know, UConn the last 2 years, they've had back-to-back 9-win seasons. So it's been a very impressive job by Jim Mora, who was coaching an independent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough job, University of Connecticut. I coached against UConn when Bob Diaco was the head football coach there. And, you know, it's just a tough, there's not a lot of just natural talent in your backyard. And you could say that there's challenges, obviously, with Colorado State. But anybody here in the state of Colorado that's a CSU fan is over the moon about this hire. And a lot of people are then, you know, the CU Buffs fans that hate CSU are saying, well, if he's that great of a coach, why would he get a lateral job? And I would argue that's not a lateral job. The Pac-12 conference, I know it's not the old Pac-12 with Oregon and USC and Stanford in its heyday, but it's still, you have a defined path forward to potentially make some noise in a college football playoff. And then I would also ask people, especially with maybe an East Coast bias where I know you do the show from and thinking that maybe UConn's a better job than Colorado State, I would ask you, have you spent extended time in Storrs, Connecticut versus have you spent extended time in the beer mecca, mountain mecca, sunshine all the time of Fort Collins, Colorado? And Jim Mora is 62 years old, I believe. You know, that stuff matters at this stage of your life. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and nothing against UConn. What they've been able to do the last 2 years is impressive. And I'm not sitting here saying that this new version of the Pac-12 is going to be like this mega conference. But at least you can build an identity there with that UConn. It's tough to really build that identity with their football program.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a football guy. You know this, Zach. I follow college football very closely. And I just assumed that the UConn was still in the AAC because their schedule is kind of a mixture of it's MAC, it's AAC, it's ACC. It's a hodgepodge. And kudos to that staff. Kudos to the kids that have been able to win football games and keep that program relevant. But ultimately, the guy you got to give credit to is Jim Mora, who rebuilt his career. And that's not easy to do. And so I think it's a great move for both Jim Mora, who I don't know if you know this, but his father coached at the University of Colorado Boulder and then left to go be on Dick Vermeil's staff at UCLA. So just like me, I was the son of a USC coach that also coached at Stanford and the University of Utah. You know, Jim Mora is a West Coast guy by nature. So he is, in a sense, coming home to a place that he spent a majority of his lifetime as a child.
What's the feel in Boulder, Colorado? Coach Prime, the first year, right, started to take the college football world by storm with the three wins right out of the gate. Last year had a really good season. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy. This is the first year without Travis and Shador, and the team just doesn't look good. Are some people jumping off the Coach Prime bandwagon, or is it, hey, at least the Buffs, even in a bad season, are still relevant, and they're going to give Coach Prime the benefit of the doubt?
Overall, I'd say the way that you'd sum it up is not good, Bob. It's not in a good space because even some of the key pieces that were once called Louis Vuitton, a lot of them, there's some rumors going around that Jordan Seaton, your prized offensive tackle, might be bound for one of the massive NIL collective type spots like University of Miami. He hasn't been playing the last few weeks. It's been a little bit ominous as it relates to what his actual injury is. I mean, I've heard some stuff that he may have shut it down. Juju Lewis, it's kind of you're stuck between a rock and a hard place with a guy like Juju because what you've seen hasn't been elite. Nothing about his game has looked fantastic. But yet, you know, you're talking about him preserving his redshirt potentially here at the end of the season. I don't really see what the path forward is with Juju here at CU, just because there's not enough tangible evidence that he is the guy that's gonna bring you back to the levels that you experienced with Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, and some of the other weapons that they had at the receiver position. I could see that receiver group that I think is really good between Drelon Miller and Omarion Miller trying to find a new home because they just haven't had much success, much fun this year throwing the football. So I don't see a lot of just optimism today, but you never know. Coach Prime's pulled a rabbit out of his hat before, so we'll see what happens next year.
Mike Sanford here with us. On the coaching carousel, then we'll get to some of the games this weekend. Eric Morris leaving North Texas, going to take over at Oklahoma State. I know he's going to still coach North Texas through the completion of their season. But this guy's a QB whisperer. We've seen all the quarterbacks he's been around. And in replacing, Mike Gundy, I thought Eric Morris probably could have even got a bigger job than Oklahoma State. I thought Baylor should have fired Aranda to make him their next head coach. But it seems like that's a good next stop for one Eric Morris.
Yeah, you know what's funny is Oklahoma State, even in the absence of a living T. Boone Pickens, man, the pockets are so deep at that spot. And it seems like a place that everybody loves taking over a program that has really hit rock bottom, but has resources, right? That's the perfect job. You never want to follow the guy. You want to follow the guy that followed the guy. And I don't even know what Gundy is because he was the guy and then he wasn't the guy. So you're kind of following the non-guy, which is a good thing, right? So I think Eric Morris was really smart in taking that Oklahoma State job. It's a great fit for him in terms of his recruiting chops there in the Texas North, North Texas and Oklahoma region. It's a place that he knows well. I got to know him really well when I was recruiting the state of Texas for the likes of Boise State, Stanford, Notre Dame, when I was coaching at those spots. And I think he'll do a great job at Oklahoma State. He'll recruit. He does bring those air raid chops to his offensive background. But he is a guy that's always going to have a quarterback. He's always going to have a guy that's going to be playing at a high level. And I just think that not enough can be said about how good of a job Eric Morris has done. I got to know him when he was young. I remember running into him down in kind of south of Dallas a little bit. And he walks in, he's got his cool little stunner shades on, kind of looked like a young, Ryan Gosling, had short shorts on. I'm like, who is this frat bro, man, coming up? And at the time, I think he was coaching at, I think it was Texas Tech at the time. Talked to him, really cool cat, and probably didn't have head coach written all over him at the time. You look at him now, he looks like a weathered head football coach. He's aged like 50 years. So, you know, that dude's grinding and doing a really nice job. So I think he's going to be a good fit for OSU.
Gun to your head, on November 26th, what do you think Lane Kiffin does that we'll find out, I guess, on Saturday?
If he's intelligent, he doesn't take the LSU job. I think that is one of the most unrealistic jobs in college football. It's kind of job where you can win a natty and then be fired 15 months later. The money's not that much difference. I mean, everybody's talking all about this, but the way that the governor got involved, how it all ended with Brian Kelly, there's some ugly things going on there. And you're looking at, I think a lot of people have this perception that Ole Miss is this poor program that can't pay its coaches. I mean, Lane Kiffin's the top 10 most compensated coach in college football. And you'd think that there are some deep pocketed boosters that A, would love to keep Lane Kiffin around at Ole Miss. All that money ties back into Memphis with that Ole Miss program, and some of the money that historically has been in FedEx and some of the big businesses that are based out of Memphis, Tennessee, in the packaging industry and the freight industry. You'd think that they'd be willing to kind of even beefing up the pockets of the NIL collective in Oxford. And I think you'd be a legend, get a statue built with two, three more good seasons at Ole Miss. So if I'm Lane, I'm not touching LSU for what, $1-2 million, which sounds crazy to me and you, but when you're making 9.5 or whatever he's making right now, what's 11.2 when you're dealing with a program that has crazy expectations that just don't seem to ever be met?
Would you leave Ole Miss for Florida? I'm assuming if you're not leaving for LSU, you wouldn't then leave for Florida, right?
See, I think Florida's a better job. I think Florida's a better job right now, and it's because you're far removed from success, right? You haven't had real wild success, but yet you still are in Florida. And I like the backyard of Gainesville, like the surrounding, 4-hour drive from Gainesville is pretty phenomenal as well. And I know Louisiana has awesome players, but it's a different culture, man. It's a different football culture. And it's weird to think that really the last guy that felt like he really understood the Louisiana football culture was Mr. Louisiana himself, Ed Orgeron. So, I don't know. I don't see Lane Kiffin being the ultimate great fit at LSU, and they'll turn on you in a New York second if you're not one of them.
Alrighty. I know that before the season, you were talking about the expectations for Arch Manning were extremely unrealistic. You were right on that. Arch Manning could put lipstick on a pig, though, at the end of the year with a victory up against A&M. Do you have any confidence that Arch and company will be able to get the job done as they are home welcoming the Aggies coming up Friday evening?
Still got a lot of talent on that roster. A&M's done a really nice job of just finding ways to continually win games, even if it's not perfect. I think A&M wins this game. I think they win, but I think it's going to be, it's going to come down to the wire. And I think ultimately, I think that you see, Marcel's going to outplay Arch in the fourth quarter, in a game that Colin Klein's a guy that I think is he's the guy that I would have my eyes out on across the country for some of these really good jobs. I think he's the quarterback whisperer and potentially a great head coach, but it's gotta be the right fit. I don't think he's an SEC head coach. Even though he's coaching as a coordinator, I think he'd be awesome in the Big Ten or maybe one of the better Big 12 jobs that come open in the next year or two.
Ryan Day, we know he dribbles down his leg in this Ohio State-Michigan game. It was ridiculous last year, and I say that as someone that's currently wearing a Michigan shirt. Will Ryan Day have history repeat itself here, or will he finally get this monkey off his back for what happened with the last few seasons up against Michigan?
I got Ohio State winning this game. They're too good. Roster's too good. Julian Sain's playing solid football. The California native, doing a nice job. My actually small world, my high school offensive coordinator was his head coach at Carlsbad High School. So I've been following his career for the last 7-8 years in high school and beyond. But I just think that overall Ohio State's better. And Michigan, to me right now, feels a little bit like USC felt a week ago.
Agreed.
Where they're just kind of just hanging around, lingering with some of the also-rans in the Big Ten that are good programs, but they're programs that historical programs like Michigan and USC should beat week in, week out, and they have. They've done that. But when you start playing the big dogs that are really investing in NIL, program development, I just don't think, just like USC couldn't hang with Oregon, I don't think that this version of Michigan is going to be able to hang with this version of Ohio State.
Miami, Notre Dame, if it comes down to it, I think the committee is going to put Notre Dame in, but who should they put in if Miami finishes the year 10-2 and then Notre Dame finishes the year 10-2, but Notre Dame lost to Miami? Should Miami be in?
It's awful to say, but I think Notre Dame's the better football team. I think that they started the season out with some defensive questions, a young quarterback that was finding his way. Notre Dame's really, really turned into a great football team this year. I think they're going to continue to make more noise in the postseason like they did a year ago. And I think their resume is bolstered by the fact that they made a lot more noise than people probably gave them credit for what they would have done a year ago. So I think Notre Dame does indeed go in. Shoot, the ACC, man, it's just a bad conference. It's hard to really justify, a 10-2 team that didn't necessarily finish great down the stretch. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Can you see an upset in the Iron Bowl, Jordan Hare? You're going to see Auburn up against Alabama. Alabama's a 6.5-point favorite on the road. Does Kalen DeBoer basically punch his ticket to the playoff, getting them to 10-2?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's done a nice job. It's a coach that I was worried about just because of not being the fit, and he's found a way to win games. Sort of has won the games that you should win. But, DJ Durkin and Auburn, man, I coached with DJ at Stanford. He is a motivating, wild man, old special teams coordinator. He's going to have Auburn ready to play. So I don't think that game's going to be a blowout by any stretch. But I just think that there's too much there with how Ty Simpson's playing. And I think Alabama, they've done a really nice job of just kind of just calming the waters a bit.
Now, let me be abundantly clear. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is leaving Alabama, but there's a bunch of Penn State fans out there that are rooting for Auburn to win this game, and then maybe Kalen DeBoer would leave Alabama for Penn State. If you were Kalen, would you abandon ship at Alabama and run to Happy Valley?
100% I would.
Wow.
And that's coming from personal experience of being a Yankee that doesn't speak like somebody down in the South. When you don't win right away, or if you have a rough patch and you sound like a guy that was raised in the Dakotas, nobody down in the Deep South likes you, and they want to get rid of you. And I think Kalen's already experienced that. I experienced that when I was a head coach of Western Kentucky. My first year, the first game, it's like, wow, this coach right here he's not one of us. And sure enough, I wasn't one of them because I got fired the next year. So it's just the way it goes down the Deep South, man. I think fit, cultural fit, regional fit, recruiting chops fit. I think that Penn State would be a much better fit for a guy like Kalen DeBoer than I think Alabama is going to ultimately end up being. And plus, let's just call a spade a spade. It was absolutely nuts to follow the you want to talk about following the guy. You go to Alabama right after Nick Saban, what are we doing here? And that's the challenge. I think Kalen DeBoer feels the weight of that even more than he probably leads on at any point.
Last thing I'll ask you, just out of all the teams that you think can make the college football playoff, who's the team or maybe a team or two that you're most curious to see how we're talking about them once the playoff is over?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's Dan Lanning in Oregon. It just seems like every year they're exciting. Dante Moore is a quarterback that I want to see him in some more big spots. I almost have a bit of an incomplete grade right now on him, even though he's super talented and has a lot of upside. That's a team that I really want to see what they're really all about when it comes down to it.
Yeah, Oregon's one that is interesting to me. We already talked about Notre Dame. Georgia is too. I feel like everyone's sleeping on Georgia. They're 10-1.
I agree.
I get it. They lost to Alabama. They had that great fourth quarter up against Ole Miss. They had an unbelievable comeback against Tennessee. But since they had a lot of early, just not all that, you know, great kind of games, and then they got helped out by the officials, I think everyone wrote them off. That's a team I wouldn't be shocked if they end up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, Georgia, I liked the DNA of Stockton. I like Gunnar Stockton's I like him in a big spot.
If Tim Tebow and Haynes King had a baby, Gunnar Stockton would be the offspring.
Here's the other piece. I think Gunnar Stockton is a better thrower of the football than people give him credit for, and I think that's going to show up in the playoffs. And so I agree. I like Georgia in that spot. I'm curious about Oregon. I'm a little bit more I'm more pessimistic about Oregon, but then I'm curious about Georgia, but I'm more optimistic about them.
Yeah, and then the other team is Indiana, because they have been, you know, rock stars, obviously, the last two seasons. And people still wonder. The coach thinks they can win a national championship. There's no doubt about that. But I still think there is some curiosity on what their apex could be from a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you get them matched up against the best that the SEC has to offer. Can they really go player for player down the roster? I don't know. I don't think that they could do it week in, week out. That's my question.
All right, he is Mike Sanford. Coach, good luck coming up the rest of the way. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Zach. You're the man.
There you go. Great stuff there with Coach Mike Sanford joining us on the show. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back after these short messages.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Also, on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, this Thursday night football preview on a Wednesday is sponsored by Square. More than 4 million neighborhood businesses run on Square. To learn more, go to square.com or just stop by your favorite local business. See you in the neighborhood, Square. Joe Burrow is expected to return to action on Thanksgiving night as the Bengals do square off against their AFC North rival in the Baltimore Ravens, who are looking to extend their winning streak to 6 games in a row at M&T Bank Stadium. So that is our little preview on that game. All righty. Let's do this. Just college football with the coaching carousel. Things are really heated on up. So we know that Eric Morris already, James Franklin is the new head football coach of Virginia Tech. We talked about that. Eric Morris is going to Oklahoma State. That is a coach. And I said this with Mike Sanford. I'll say it again. I predicted he was going to go to Baylor. I understand the whole Mac Rhodes situation happened with Baylor. And if you don't have an AD, it's nearly impossible to hire a coach. But I thought that they should have just got rid of Dave Aranda and kept Eric Morris in the state of Texas because he was at North Texas. That is what I would have done. Instead, Eric Morris is going to be leaving North Texas, and now he's going to go into the Big 12, the conference that Baylor is in, and he's going to be going to Oklahoma State. I think that is a really good job for Eric Morris in that next step. A lot of times you see these coaches go from the G5 to mega jobs in the SEC, mega jobs in the Big Ten. Him going to Oklahoma State is definitely a step up and is definitely a bigger job, but it is a job when you take a look at what is going to transpire. It's one of those jobs where it's not as if he's going from a G5 job to being the next head football coach at Auburn or LSU or Alabama or Florida. So I think that's a good spot, and if he has a good 2 or 3 year run where we know Oklahoma State likes to have these high-flying football teams and these prodigious amount of scoring point football teams, in theory, that he could then get a major job. But that just seems like a good fit. I thought Alex Golish could have got the job. He was a GA at Oklahoma State all those years ago. I like the hire of Eric Morris going to Oklahoma State. Now, on the Alex Golish front, there was a report out there today that he has been offered the job at Arkansas and that he's going to take it. So this is from Trey Schapp, who's been covering the Razorbacks since 1996. Sources: Alex Golish has accepted an offer to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. Now, that has not been confirmed yet, but we did just get a statement from the USF athletic director, who basically said, coach has been transparent through us. Nothing will surprise us in what it happens. It's a fluid situation. I'll read you the whole statement. It's here. Since Saturday's game, Coach Golish has been presented with outside opportunities that has been transparent about with us. We are respectful and supportive of Coach and his family and their decision-making process. We remain in constant communication. Bulls Nation, rest assured, we are ultra prepared for every scenario that could unfold in the coming hours and days. Our commitment and investment has never been higher, and we are also laser focused on being great stewards of our resources. Most important, the future of USF football has never been more bright. Go Bulls! So, if Alex Golish, I'm going to assume he's going to take the pig suey job over at Arkansas. I think Alex Golish is a very good young up and coming coach. His wife is from Arkansas, so I think that is going to happen. And when you read a statement like that, it wasn't, oh no, he's our coach, he's not leaving. So this is one of those things. He's been offered it. I think that's pretty much clear. I don't know if he's accepted it. I did see the report that he did accept it. We just read it to you by Trey Schapp. But I'm going to imagine that by the end of this weekend, it probably comes out that he's the next head football coach at Arkansas. That would be my guess on that. Now, we talked about this earlier. Eli Drinkwitz, I'm going to assume now, is going to stay at Missouri. I thought for sure Eli Drinkwitz was either going to be the next head football coach at Penn State or Florida. That is what I thought was going to be the case here. But sometimes you get coaches that have interest from other schools, and they end up staying, even though you look at Missouri football and you wonder to yourself, is it a job that you'd rather be the head football coach of Missouri over Penn State? Would you rather be Missouri or Florida, even though that's in the SEC? And Missouri's been better than Florida, obviously, as of late. So Drinkwitz came out the other week, and he was talking about standard, and he's talking about expectation, and there's got to be more than a 12-team college football playoff. I don't know how much that answer really resonated with the folks in Happy Valley. I don't know how much that answer really resonates with the folks in the swamp, where in Florida, they still expect them to be Florida under Spurrier and under Urban Meyer. And in Penn State, you just got rid of James Franklin because they weren't going to a national championship with James Franklin. Now, would Penn State or Florida still hire Eli Drinkwitz? I'm sure they would. But I think once you kind of gave that answer out, maybe you tipped your hand a little bit that you were going to stay. But there is a Wednesday board meeting with Eli Drinkwitz, and they are expected at that meeting to give him the go-ahead to issue him this contract extension and the way that that's going to go on down. So it does make Penn State interesting, and it makes Florida interesting. Now, the Lane Kiffin domino doesn't really impact Penn State. It impacts Florida, though. And I don't know what Lane Kiffin's going to do. Last week, I would have said he's staying at Ole Miss. This week, if you were staying, I think you would have already announced that you're staying. But then there's a part of me that said, okay, you don't want to ever make something based off a result of a game. Like assume, okay, we'll beat Mississippi State, and then on Saturday, I'll go on College Game Day, and I'll be like, rah, rah, I'm staying. Right? Like, in theory, that would be a perfect way. Be a great, but what happens if you lose the Egg Bowl? All these, like, what happens if all these distractions infiltrate in your locker room, you lose, and then you're like, ta-da, I'm actually staying. Yeah, Ole Miss fans will still be happy, but they'll say, why did you put us through this dog and pony show, and then it went into the locker room? Now, what could also happen? They could win, and then he could leave. And if I'm Ole Miss, you could have Lane Kiffin coaching your like, is this going to be what Eric Morris is doing? Where he's now the new head football coach at Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State season this year means nothing. And he's going to stay at North Texas, who could still go make an outside push for the college football playoff, you know, if they're able to happen to win the AAC. So I'm looking at it right now. It's going to be very interesting on what transpires with Lane Kiffin. Because today I would say Lane's leaving, and I would guess it's LSU. I would. And if Lane goes to LSU, I understand my LSU fans would be thrilled. But then you look like a bunch of fools if you're Florida. Because you've been waiting for the Lane train. What is then your pivot plan? And Golish looks like he's going to be off the board. Eric Morris is off the board. James Franklin is off the board. Are you able to go get a John Sumrall? Like, I think that would be a phenomenal hire by Florida. But there's a lot of speculation on the internet, and who knows? But a lot of people think, and I've been saying this now for a month, that John Sumrall to Auburn just makes sense. John Sumrall, people are thinking he could replace Lane Kiffin if Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss. Could you imagine those dynamics? Ha! Lane says no to Florida, goes to LSU. Then they're interested in Sumrall. And let's say Sumrall says, no, I'm going to go to Ole Miss over Florida. Florida look like a bunch of cucks. They really would. It'd be crazy. And some people thought, oh, maybe Florida would go with Golish. Well, Golish, it looks like he's going to Arkansas. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't. But if you made me take a guess today, I'm going to say Lane's going to LSU. I am. But for both LSU and Florida, if Lane either stays at Ole Miss or goes to the other place, what the other school is going to be doing is fascinating. Because there could be a feeling by Florida and LSU, do you really want to go the G5 route? I think Sumrall is going to be a rock star. I do. I'd have no problem, you know, Golish beat Florida this year. I have no problem they wanted to hire him, even though it looks like he's going to be the next coach of Arkansas. With that being said, though, you know, John Sumrall's already in the state of Louisiana at Tulane. Tell me LSU wouldn't want to hire him? Like, why not? So what LSU in Florida if it will do if it's not Lane is going to be fascinating to me. It's going to be really interesting. I thought the Jim Moore move to Colorado State, it wasn't one that I saw coming. If I'm just going to be transparent, I don't think that was on a lot of people's radar. He's done a very good job the last 2 years at UConn, but it is a step up for him. I know some people are like, oh, is it really? It's Colorado State. They at least have an identity. You know, they're going to this new form of the Pac-12. I'm not saying that's going to be a mega conference. UConn football, yeah, they've won the last 2 years in terms of their win-loss record, but you're an independent. And I hate to break it to you, you're an independent that's not Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a different scale on that front. So that's just a bunch that's going on in the college football coaching carousel that we take a look at as we sit around this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. A lot of decisions that are going to be made. And I'm telling you, that college football playoff committee, if Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss, they'll probably keep him in the mix. You know, if this would be the worst for Ole Miss. This would actually be the worst. They somehow lose the Egg Bowl. Lane Kiffin leaves them. I think if they pick up a second loss, the committee's going to say, you're out. That's how they would get dropped out of the college football playoff. The combination of losing to Mississippi State and Lane Kiffin leaving, they would be out. But I do think they're going to win the Egg Bowl. So as long as they win the Egg Bowl, even if Lane Kiffin leaves, I then think that the College Football Playoff Committee, and it's going to be rancid to say, would probably just make them go on the road for the first round of the playoff. But I'll be curious to see if there's a little bit of a sluggish start for that Ole Miss team coming up on Friday. That's a 12 p.m. Eastern time game, just with all these distractions. Because some of these players, they got to just be furious at this point. They got to be furious with just not knowing. So that's where we're at on all this stuff right now. Azarm, what are you? What irrelevant soccer game are you watching right now?
Sorry, Arsenal just scored.
Oh, what are they playing in? Who are they playing? What is this?
The Champions League.
Oh, okay. Is it anything of significance or no?
We're against Bayern Munich, who are like the.
Explain this to me like I have no clue what you're just saying right now, because that's basically what I'm telling you.
Best team in Germany against best team in England.
Okay, and it's just an exhibition, or is this like a game that matters?
It's the group stage, like the league phase before the knockout stage.
Okay, so like it's like the play-in tournament before the playoffs.
It's just the regular season before the playoffs.
Oh, okay. When do the playoffs start?
I think February. But it's only like once every other week.
Okay, I have no clue this stuff. Every day you work on this show... You're celebrating some soccer game, and it's a new... This is why I just never understood soccer. Number one, I couldn't run as long as those guys do when I was growing up as a kid with no stoppage time. And number two, and there's like a new thing each and every day every time you explain it to me. It's very confusing. You could understand how your sport is confusing, right?
Yeah, I'm actually writing a research paper on how there's too many games.
Are you really?
I am, yeah.
Wait. You sit here each and every time you film on this show, and you're slobbering over this soccer stuff, and you're now writing a research paper that there's too many games?
Yeah, because there's certain formats that have been expanded, but also new competitions that just weren't needed in the first place.
Where are you writing this research paper for?
For school. I'm doing my master's, yeah.
Where?
NYU.
Wait. You're getting your master's at NYU. Where'd you go to undergrad?
Marist.
Okay.
Red Foxes.
You're getting your master's at NYU in what?
Sports business.
Sports business. And you're working here?
Yeah, I'm doing both.
That's like when Tom DiBenedetto, who's now Jim Rome's producer, used to produce me. When we had, it was myself, Mike Biseglia, and Tom DiBenedetto. I think he went to Columbia. And when I found out that he went to Columbia and was working with a dope like me, I couldn't believe it.
I applied there. They rejected me.
What is up with some of these people that go to these big fancy schmancy schools and then elect to work with me? I don't get it.
I praise.
Yeah.
I praise for you.
Please. They must walk out of here and go, I work with the dumbest guy in the world with all these erudite folks.
Not if I'm in the room.
Yeah. That's why we bring you in here.
That's what I'm here for. Comic relief, folks.
Alrighty, we will take a break. Justin Rock standing by. That's the voice you hear. He has the latest sports flash.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We do love offensive linemen on this show. We are a big fan of the Hog Mollies inside the trenches. We do have some news in terms of a big offensive lineman who is making his return to the NFL, and that is former Detroit Lions center Frank Ragnow is coming out of retirement. And that's one of the toughest guys to ever play in the history of the NFL. But Frank Ragnow, the four-time Pro Bowler, is coming out of retirement and is returning to the Detroit Lions. So that's going to be a little boost there for the Lions. I don't know how quickly he is going to be eligible to play, but they did have his contractual rights for two seasons, according to Adam Schefter, this year and next. When Ragnow returns to Detroit this week, his contract is in place. So today was the deadline for the Lions four-time Pro Bowler center Frank Ragnow to come out of retirement for the season, per sources. If a player is on a club's reserve slash retired list, he must be reinstated prior to the club's Week 13 game. Detroit plays, plays Thursday, so the deadline was today. I'm going to assume that Frank Ragnow isn't going to be playing, in the game tomorrow. But with that being said, and you look at the Lions' schedule, how quickly he get back up to speed and get back on there, I would imagine they do play. They play Thursday, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, and then they're on the following Thursday and Thursday Night Football up against Dallas. So he's not going to play tomorrow, but would he be back on the field for December 4th, or will they wait until Sunday, December 14th, when they're at the Rams? And the Lions could use the boost, too, because that's been an offense that really the last 5 weeks or so, I just don't know what I'm getting. Now, up against Kansas City, that was a game they could have won. They stubbed their toe early. They ended up losing 30-17. They beat up on the walking wounded in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, nothing to be impressed by. They blew that game to the Minnesota Vikings. They smack up on a feeble Commanders team. Then they lose to the Eagles 16-9, and they needed overtime to take care of business up against the Giants. Remember, it was a few weeks ago. It was that Washington game, I'm pretty sure, when Dan Campbell started calling plays. Yeah, because you had President Trump who was in the building, where Jonathan Vilma and Kenny Albert were interviewing him, and Jonathan Vilma did about two 6-7 jokes in that whole thing. So Frank Ragnow is coming on back. Azar him right away. He does the hands with the 6-7. Did you hear the it was the Arkansas D Hunter Yurcheck last night?
College football rankings? Yeah, I
saw, so
I heard that.
Cringy.
Yeah.
So cringy. There was a moment where it was Reese Davis who's saying, oh, at 6-7, the rankings, and Hunter Yurcheck goes, 6-7! It was wild. Could you explain 6-7, Azar? How old are you, Azar?
I just turned 26.
Yeah, so I understand it's one of those things that kids are just like, anytime it's 6-7, it's 6-7, they do the hand movement. But can you explain anything more than that?
It's literally just a lyric from a song from Skrilla or something.
Yeah.
And that's literally it. And then there was this one kid that did it, and that was the original video, I guess. He just said it, and then it sort of just blew up from there.
When do you think it stops? When do you think that this craze and everyone just saying 6-7 and
sometime during 20. I feel like this is a 2025 thing. So I think sometime in like 2026.
So like in 6 or 7 months, it will come to an end.
Sure.
This 6-7 stuff is wild. It really is. I see a lot of stupid things. But I've been on this thing from early on. You know, I just saw it out there. And now everyone's just jumping into the fold with 6-7. I was walking back to my apartment in New York City, and my apartment is right next to where the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers used to be, like two blocks from there. And there's a bunch of kids that go into the memorial, and you know they go on school trips and stuff to the memorial. And one day, there's these kids coming off the bus, and every kid's like, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7, 6-7. And I just see this one teacher, probably was like in her 40s, and you could just tell, she does the hand movement, and she just looks so dejected. Like, when does this crap ever end?
I feel like this is like that new generation's version of when I was their age. Like, when I was their age, we had different ones. Like, what's 9 plus 10? 21? You don't know that one?
9 plus it's 10 like is someone, 21? Like, I'm bad at math, but that's 19.
Exactly. That's the whole point.
Oh, that was a thing?
That was just like 21, and then that was like the original.
I'm not going to lie. The first time I saw a 6-7 as a trend, it was two numbers that added up to that I thought were going to add up to 69, right? Like with that whole juvenile joke, right?
Sure.
So I saw a teacher post, my kids keep on asking me this question, like with the numbers, and they thought I was going to get got, but I didn't. I just go, how dumb is this teacher? Those numbers don't add up to 69. And then I saw that it added up to 67. And I'm like, oh. And I Google, what's the significance of the 6-7? And this must have been 6 months ago? Has it been around for that long? 5 months ago? Maybe, it wasn't 6 or 7 months ago.
The actual song has been out for much longer, but
yeah.
So I think it's been pretty viral for the last 5 months.
Yeah, it could, like, I want to say it was June too early?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it was around late May or early June, I would say. So maybe it was June or July. Did that go over your head? Because
I got it.
June
I got
6th,
it. Yeah,
July
7th? Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. This is the world that we're in. Oh, let me tell you. When they're announcing the college football playoff rankings, they're definitely going to be in on the 6th and the 7th seat. There's no doubt about that. All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. I think we've beat
thankfully,
the 6th, 7th
stuff. Thankfully, we're not on stream. Just the amount of hand movements right now.
Well, Percy Einan was in last week, and he started in with the 6th, 7th stuff. And once you get me going, I'm like a child, right? Like, I'll just then beat the joke to death. And it is somehow still infiltrated into this week of shows as well. Okay, let's take a break. When we come on back, we'll preview the 3 Thanksgiving games that will come your way tomorrow. Food, family, football, that's all what Thanksgiving is about. So we'll get into Packers and Lions, Chiefs and Cowboys, Bengals and Ravens. We will do a news brief coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time. And then also, I had a signature week of gambling. 3-0 on this show. I told you the Browns plus the points was going to be a win. I told you the Falcons plus the points was going to be a win. And then I did lay the 7. The one favorite I did take was I did lay the 7 points up against the Seahawks. In my picks competition with Pat Boyle, I went 3-0 last week. Pat went 0-3. So I had a 4-game lead at one point. Then it was down to 1. Now it's back up to 4. So how do you like me now, Pat Boyle? I'm going to try to beat Pat Boyle in this picks competition by 6 or 7 games. Isn't that right, Azar? We'll take a break. The Stupid Zach Gelb Show is back in 5 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.